Thank you. You may be seated. You know, I've always wondered if we woke up one day and if we looked at our lives and we realized that everything we are doing is far too complicated. Y'all ever think that any morning when you wake up? And not in the sense that we could make our physical task easier, but that we're expecting too much of ourselves, especially during the holiday season. And did anyone have a stressful day today? You're not getting ready for tomorrow at all, are you? Having that perfect Christmas lunch, dinner, brunch, breakfast, whatever the tradition is in your household. I remember growing up as a little kid. Well, I say a little kid. I was like 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 years old. I remember I was taking piano lessons for those 4 years and that I wanted to be able to play like my piano teacher could play because she was so good at it. She could pick up any piece of music, set it there in front of her, and could just play it beautifully. I tried so hard, I pushed myself, and I ended up becoming the absolute best piano player I could possibly become. I didn't give up, I just kept moving forward. Now, Christmas music was also my favorite type of music to play, so I played songs and hymns from Christmas all year round. My parents were thrilled. So when Christmas time came around, I was ready. And I must admit, I learned something valuable at the end of that 4-year period, and that is that God graces us with different talents. And the hand, eye, and mind coordination needed for me to play the piano was not something God had graced me with. There are, however, some other things that just come naturally to me, as I'm sure each and every single one of you has at least one, maybe two things that you do really well, that you have a knack for. And one of those things that I can do easily is I can find a perfect Christmas tree. Now, several years ago, after our first daughter was born, we started getting a real tree when we lived in Hobart, New York. I know a lot of y'all are thinking, oh, Hobart, the college. No, Hobart, the village of 400 people in the heart of the Catskills. And by heart of the Catskills, as far away from any large city as you can get and still be in New York. And every year after that first year, oh, there's a story to tell about getting the Christmas tree. The first year, we went to Oneonta. We went to the big city. And we went to a farm where when you rolled out of your car there, some teenager followed you around with a saw. And you found the tree you liked. You pointed at it. Then they took your picture with it. They cut it down. They hauled it back up to the barn where they shook it, netted it, strapped it to the top of your car. That was the perfect year right there. And ever since then, Pastor Romy, my wife, and I, we have tried to top that experience so much so that the following year when my parents were visiting us in Hobart for Thanksgiving, it's Thanksgiving, it's the Catskills. We had 10 inches of snow on the ground from Thanksgiving night. But we decided, let's go out, let's go get a fresh tree on Black Friday. Well, we had done a little bit of research, and we found that there was another tree farm in a place called Bovina Center. Yeah, I know. Y'all have heard of that place, haven't you? Which I don't know why they call it the center, because there's nothing really to compare where the center of anything is at. But we drove to the top of this mountain where the farm was at. What I would later find out after spring thaw were dirt roads. With my parents following us, we were in the Jeep. My parents were in their Impala from South Carolina. So needless to say, it didn't have snow tires on it. And we, as in my wife and I, crested the top of the hill there. I say hill, it's a mountain. We sat there and we waited and we waited and we waited, and there was no mom and dad behind us. So I began to walk down the mountain again, and sure enough, there they were, stuck on the side of the road. The back end of the car was too light and was sliding off the ice, because that's essentially what the road was a sheet of ice. After pushing the back end of the car back into the road, we slowly backed it down, parked it at the bottom. I went back up, got the Jeep. We piled Mom, my sister, and then we threw Dad into the back of the Jeep, and we drove back up to the farm because we were ready for that Christmas tree. They weren't open. So after a quick stop at the house, on our way back down the mountain through the valley, we got a bite to eat, and then we set out for another tree farm in a village you may have heard of, Delhi. What? There's a SUNY campus there. That's big time. And it was there that we found the perfect tree at that second tree farm. Now remember, there's 10 inches of snow on the ground. It's 18 degrees. We're in the mountains. There's not much valley right around there. So I crawled underneath it in 10 inches of snow and began to cut the tree down without gloves on, because they were in the car parked about a half mile away. I said, it won't take that long. So we got the tree home, and then as I was putting the Christmas lights in it, I kept looking down, and I was bleeding all over the place. The needles on it were like little razor blades. I had a nickname for that tree that year, the demon tree. But we didn't have to worry about the kids messing with it. That was the beauty of it. The next year, we did the same farm, and I remembered my gloves, and we were dressed appropriately because there was another foot of snow on the ground that next Thanksgiving. Come to find out, we crashed the people that owned the family's farm, their little family get-together there in the cabin. They invited us in, just like people do up in the Catskills, gave us some hot chocolate, let us sit by the fire. Then 2 years ago in Carmel, now we're getting closer to civilization, we found the perfect tree farm and look forward to going back to it the next year. So much so, I said to Bishop Bickerton, please don't move us. But he had other plans for us here in Port Washington. I mean, that tree farm had a tractor. They gave you a ride out into the beautiful trees there to cut them down. Oh, and did I mention that every single year we take our picture with the tree before and after cutting it down? Oh, yeah, we sure do. That's a Collins family tradition. Now, last year, after we moved here to Port, the pestilence descended upon our household around Thanksgiving. So when it came time to put our tree up on Black Friday, like we enjoy to do to get it done so we can focus on church and on Christmas Eve the rest of the time, Pastor Romy gave me a blessing to take our oldest, Veronica, to Home Depot to pick out a tree. It was fantastic. No wet jeans from the mud, no blood anywhere. Just beautiful tree after tree. That was not to be this year, though. Oh, no. We had to go back to the Collins family tradition of a tree farm. So we rode out east to a farm that had well-priced trees on their website. We parked on the side of the road with about 100 other cars and began our journey to the farm. A tractor rolled up with a wagon. That was a good start. So we hopped on back of the old hay wagon, and it hauled us out into the middle of nowhere. I know it's hard to find the middle of nowhere on Long Island, but it does exist. And I have a fantastic sense of direction, but I was so turned around after they dropped us off, I could not get us out of there. Now, when I think about it, there were red flags all over the place that were telling me we should not be at this tree farm. Because it was the saddest excuse for Christmas trees I've ever seen. Charlie Brown would have trouble finding a tree in this place. We roamed around for about an hour, and then we gave up and did what every person who does that does. We went to McDonald's. I'd been pushing for Pastor Romy to go to Home Depot all week, but she wasn't having it. And here she sat in the van as we were leaving the McDonald's, and she said, let's go to Home Depot. So we got to the first Home Depot, because there's more than one before this story ends. And I was like, you're going to love the pre-cut trees, because all you do is you pull them out, you look at it, you say yes or no, you put it back, you get the next one out, and you look at it. And I quote, a little piece of me died at that tree farm. We're getting an artificial tree. Flash forward to our second Home Depot, and we found a tree that we agreed upon. It's a beautiful tree. I love it. It doesn't drop needles. Don't have to water the thing. It doesn't make you bleed, and it's easy to set up. You don't even have to plug in the sections. You know, you just stick the middle part on, and the lights come on. It's a miracle. It's amazing. the perfect Christmas tree. We even took a family photo as we walked out of the garden center with a huge box on a cart at the Jericho Home Depot. But those little words, a little piece of me died, that kind of stuck with me the last few weeks. You know, we had this high expectations of our family traditions of choosing the perfect Christmas tree for us. And it may have placed our expectations so high that we overcomplicated our lives in trying to do something that is perfect. It's like us in the church. We end up losing ourselves in this season of welcoming God's presence into our world through Christ. You know, like the sales folk at Sears say, what if we decided to keep it simple? To focus on what our faith really is trying to teach us if we just listen. You know, Jesus didn't give us a whole laundry list of things to do to enhance our faith, like writing an 800-page book of rules for the church, but instead showed us the core components of faith in God. Two of them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And then the second one's kind of like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ain't no clauses. There's no little asterisks in the Bible to see a footnote for any exceptions. It's been laid out for us. Yet oftentimes, as humans, we choose to overcomplicate our lives and our faith to the point that, goodness, no one wants to be around us because we've fallen away from God's love so much that we're blind even to our own ignorance. You know, we've gathered here tonight, marking the birth of the one who chose to love us in spite of ourselves. Because as I said during the prayer, we're made in the image of God. We are destined to be good, to be holy, to be righteous beings. So that we may in turn then go out into the world with that very same love that God offered to us through that infant and offer that love to others. Now this Christmas, I pray that the gift of God's love be with you always and that you may share it joyfully with others. May God fill your hearts, your souls, and your minds with so much grace that even in times when it seems like there's nothing but hatred all around us, we see others that our leaders deem as not as good as us, that we may rise up as the true church. That we can answer with Christ's love for all this day and forevermore. We're constantly called to be better people than we are day by day. May we keep the love of Christ in our hearts and in our minds so that we may be for the world the light of God to show the goodness that we ourselves have witnessed firsthand. From that baby who was born in a manger. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Thanks be to God. So tonight, as we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, I invite you now to turn to page 17, The Great Thanksgiving. As we join together in our communion liturgy.